Welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. It's an absolute delight to have you with us. Today, brace yourselves for a message that's not just timely, but transformative. An inspiring and uplifting word straight from God's heart to yours. We're immensely grateful to our partners for their unwavering support, enabling us to spread this beacon of hope and faith across the globe. Your efforts are changing lives, and for that, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. If you feel called to join our mission and want to become a partner, please visit thelife.cc/give. Your support can make a world of difference. Now, let's dive into today's word, confident that it will directly speak to your heart, strengthen your faith, and inspire you to live out God's purpose for your life.
Open up your Bibles, if you brought them, to the book of John. We're going to look at John chapter 14. And speaking of John, didn't John do a great job last weekend? Our online campus pastor, I tell him all the time, he's my favorite preacher. So we love John and the Sims household and love him here at Word of Life. I've had something on my heart for quite some time, and so this is just an individual message. It's not a part of a series. But I have been stirred on this, even in my own personal life. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I want to see miracles. Genuinely. I feel like we're at a point where there's like an Elijah spirit that's coming upon the church that just wants to kick Bell out of every nook and cranny of our nation and just come and say, let the God who answers by fire be God. That we have all of these things that are set up in our nation that people pay attention to, and just not just our nation, but the nations of the world, that we want a God with power. We don't want a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We want a modern-day Book of Acts church, and you cannot distinguish the Book of Acts from miracles. And I thank God, this year already, we have seen a lot of miracles. I thought about just reading some of those testimonies to you of things that are coming in. But we're seeing people set free by the power of the living God. And I believe we are just warming up. I think the fuse is being lit, but we have yet to see the explosive power of God like we're going to see it. And what we're talking about today is a big part of that. And I want you to know, no matter what you're facing or whatever battle you are in, and as I was praying today, I just sense like some of you are in a battle or you may be about to face one. No matter what it is, you have been given a weapon in the name of Jesus that is absolutely greater than anything in your life that may come against you or is against you right now. And so what I want to do today is just build your faith in the name of Jesus. To just establish you scripturally in the power of that name, to stir up your heart to not just hear this message and look at these scriptures, but to read them over and over and over again until this message is fixed in your heart for your fight. And so out of that, John chapter 14, Jesus is talking here, and I want you to read how awesome this is. In verse number 12, John 14 and 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, this is Jesus talking, he who believes in me, the works that I do. Now, I want you to think about all the works that Jesus did, from stopping storms to rebuking fevers to performing miracles. He says, the works that I do, this is Jesus talking, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, who's the he? He who believes in me. The works that I do, he will do also. And watch this, greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Why? Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is awesome. So out of this, you have Jesus saying, I don't want you to be without power. Jesus, his life was filled with the miraculous. You know this. But he's saying here that this is not just something that's relegated to my life or the Acts of the Apostles. And when the last apostle dies, then that's just the end of power because this thing will already be established in the earth. I don't know who came up with that, but I wonder if they've ever read scripture. Because Jesus said, if you believe on me, that's the only qualifier. If you believe on me, not born in this dispensation, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these. Why? Because I go to my Father, and I'm going to give you my name. Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it. And this word ask, it literally has the connotation to demand. And this is not talking about demanding from God. This is talking about demanding from life. That you have situations that you face in life where you know it is coming against you. It's a battle against your mind. It's a battle against your marriage. It's a battle against one of your kids. How many of you know in those types of battles, you're not wrestling against just flesh and blood? But there are battles that you come against, some physical battles, financial battles, whatever it may be, that when you are in a battle, you know you are not without a weapon. You have been given. Oh, come on. You have been given the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, when you pray in that name, and when you come and you speak to something in that name, he said, I want you to know something. I take it personally. I will do it. That it has become something that now you're not just working on it, but I am working on it too. One of the things that God's been dealing with me about in my own life is pride. And the more I study it for myself, the more I see it everywhere. And not just everywhere, but also in me. Pride will always make it about you, your power and your ability. And so when you encounter a problem and you immediately result to you, well, how much money do I have? Well, what connections do I have? Well, what flesh, doctor or nurse could I turn to? When we make it about us, we are falling over into pride. Pride always begins with me and I. And when we face battles, so oftentimes in those moments, we are more prideful than ever because we are looking at our own strength instead of facing these things in the name of Jesus. And it's like Samson of thinking like, I'll constantly shake myself and I'll get free from this. And you remember Samson, he's got his head in Delilah's lap. And the power of God has been on him for so long, he's mistaken it for his own. And so he's playing with it. He's playing with this power. There is no humility. There is no mindfulness of the Lord. He's just constantly, he's shaking himself and the power is still there. But it was pride all along because it wasn't his power. It was the power of the Lord on his life. And the way you humble yourself in Christianity is you go unto Jesus. You remember when Jesus said he called out a child? It'd be like him teaching today. He sees a child and he's like, come here. And the child goes up there and he says, unless you humble yourself like this little child. What did that child do? He went to Jesus. That's the only thing we know about that child. We don't know his name. We don't know who his parents were. The only thing we know is he went to Jesus. And pride always goes to you and your resources. It goes to your books. It goes to your bank account. It goes to your wisdom. It goes to your friends. Humility always goes to God. It humbles itself like a little child. And like your little children, when they want something to eat, you don't give them the knife and say, just go cut it up. What do? They come to you. And you go and you make your food, which is what Jesus was, you make their food, which is what Jesus is saying. If you are humble, you come to me, not like a child, like a little child, where you are absolutely dependent upon me to get you out of this mess. And what I want you to do with whatever problem you're facing right now, I want you to retire from your own power and I want you to throw yourself over on the name of Jesus. I want you to go to Jesus like never before and say, I believe in that name, that there is no other name under heaven where men might be saved, but in the name of Jesus. In the Old Testament, let's go over there and look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know the story of David and Goliath. And I think so oftentimes we read this story and we don't see the power that is in it. We'll go back to the book of John, but watch this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, there's Goliath in the field. You know Goliath, he's super tall and strong. And so everybody is intimidated to fight him. And there are names that carry power. There are certain names with sickness and disease that if I threw it out, it wouldn't scare you at all. But then there are other names that if I just said the name, that name carries a weight to it. And as soon as you hear that name, you feel fear. Because names are carriers. Words are carriers. There's certain problems that if I just name the problem, like if I said you had a $10 debt that they're coming for right now, it wouldn't freak you out. But if I just change the name with changing the figure, just the figure, you would feel a whole different set of emotions. And so Goliath represents the thing in your life that makes you afraid. And so the children of Israel have watched this giant mock them for weeks. And the reason why they're scared is pride. So I says, well, what do you mean by that? They are only thinking about what they could do about the giant. And I want you to link the two. Anytime you feel fear, you're in pride. Because when you are in fear, you are thinking about your problem compared to you. There is no way to feel fear and compare your problem to God. Because everyone knows that if God wanted to, and he does, but if God wanted to, he could smoke whatever is coming against you. I mean, he could not just whip it, he could whoop it. And I came from a house where there is a difference. God, when you feel fear, you are in pride. Because you are comparing your Goliath to what you are able to do about it. And you have lost sight of the covenant you have with the living God. And so you have all of these people in a field watching Goliath literally not just mock them, but mock their God and their nation. And they sit there and they listen to it week after week after week after week. And this is symbolism. You know, what you see in the Old Testament is symbolism for what you're facing now. That's not written to entertain you. It's written to enlighten you. That this is exactly what happens when you face a problem and you just sit there and let it talk to you with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And somebody says, a problem talks, you better believe it talks. That when you're sitting there watching that happen with your kids, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions come to you. They're never going to make it. How did they ever get themselves? Shame will come if you would have done that and this and this and look at you. Once again, it's all about who? You. And so out of that, it'll constantly attack your mind. What are you going to do? Like, you better figure this out. You know, what are your kids going to do? What would they do without you? And all of this fear comes to you. And it just talks, and it talks, and it talks, and it talks, and pride will listen to it. And pride will sit there and just make it more and more and more and more about me. But there came a kid on this field by the name of David who just didn't know any better. And he came one day to just bring his brother's lunch, like his name's David, just to bring his brother's lunch. And he steps up there and he hears Goliath mocking everyone. And David immediately responds of, who in the world does he think he is? And they tell him the situation, like basically they've let the enemy. It's so interesting to me. It's like, why are we playing by his rules? Like, what if we just all rush out there with spears? Don't let your enemy dictate the terms. Like, you come against your enemy. Don't let it just come against you. Like, why would you play by this rule? But Goliath has this rule of, like, you send out your champion and we've sent out our champion and the two will fight and whoever wins, like, wins the whole thing. And so King Saul has put out this reward that whoever will do this will walk in this reward. And so they tell David this. And when David hears it, he's like, I'll fight him. And they're like, shh, who do you think you are? You're going to fight him. He's like, no, I'll fight him. And so you know the story. They put him above King Saul. And when King Saul sees him, watch what happens in verse number 31. 1 Samuel 17, 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them all to Saul, and he sent for him. He's like, who is this guy? And David said to Saul, look, don't let any man's heart fail them on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, look, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. Watch this. But David said unto Saul, look, it's no problem. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came against and took a lamb from the flock. And I went out after him and attacked him. I don't know about you, but I would have, man, that's one less. I went out after him and attacked him. Now watch this, and rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I seized him by his beard, and I struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of God. Watch this, verse 37, watch this. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Now what Saul is hearing here is faith. You can hear faith. You can see faith. When someone is in faith, they don't have to tell you. You will hear it and you will see it. Like, faith is a tangible presence. There is the knowledge of faith, but there is the spirit of faith. And David has the spirit of faith on him. And when he sees it, Saul sees it, he's like, go and the Lord be with you. But I want you to notice, David, who has slain the lion and has slain the bear, do you see the humility? The Lord who is with me. He's the one who slayed the lion. He's the one who slayed the bear. Who does God lift up? The humble. Whoever humbles himself under the mighty hand of God, the Lord will lift him up. Who falls? The prideful. Humility will make it all about the Lord. Pride will make it all about you. And we know this when it comes to, like, you know, serving people. If there's like one biscuit left on the table, you know, pride will take the biscuit. Humility will see if anybody wants it. And so we're so mindful with that side of humility, that like humility will make it about you. Pride will make it about me. But what we don't see is that the time where we have more pride than any other time that actually sets us up for the fall is when problems hit our lives. That when problems hit our lives, we immediately result to our power, our strength, our ability, and what we can do in that moment. And the narrative of the New Testament is we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when we look at our past victories, we do not see ourselves. When we look at our past victories, we do not see our hand. We do not see our power. We do not see our might. When we look at our past victories, we see it with the eye of humility, which does what? It sees the Lord. The Lord was with me. I never would have made it without God. I wouldn't be standing where I'm standing right now without the Lord being gracious unto me. Humility always sees the Lord. So when you look at your past and you're telling your testimony, if it doesn't have the Lord all in that story, it is pride all the way. And that's dangerous, because your pride always leads to your next fall, which is why you ought to never be ashamed of Jesus. When people are asking you, I don't care where they're coming from in the business world or anywhere else, when people are asking you, how did you get here? The Lord better come up in that conversation. That you acknowledge, the Lord was with me. His grace protected me. The platform that you're on is designed to be a testimony of the goodness of God in your life, so that when people see you, they see him. So David is looking at his past and he sees it was the Lord who was with me. Why was I not afraid of the lion and the bear? And why was I delivered from that problem? The Lord. Which, notice the frame of reference. So humility, when it looks at the past, it'll always see God in every victory. But when it looks at a future problem or a current one, it also sees the Lord. And so Saul's like, okay, we're going to send you out. I sense the spirit of faith. The Lord be with you. But we better dress you up. Like, we better put the best of the world on you. And so you know the story. He's getting ready to equip him with armor. But it's not just any armor. It's the best armor. It's the king's armor. It's Saul's armor. And so watch what happens here when this goes through. So out of that, verse 38. So then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with his armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, but he had not tested them. And so David said unto them, I can't go with these, for I have not tested them. You better be careful always looking for a new thing. Sometimes going with what you've tested is better than just searching for something new all the time. Like, I'm all for being innovative, but there are some things that are timeless. And David knew, what I need right now is not a new strategy. What I need right now is something that has brought me victory in the past. And so he picks up his sling, and it's very interesting. I read a book. It was, you know, this smart guy. And I like reading after smart people. And so out of that, he was talking about David actually had a strategic advantage against Goliath, because Goliath wanted to make it a sword fight, and David was a slinger. And so slingers had strategic advantages because David knew he didn't have to get close. And there is a message there, like, don't get too close to your problem. Beat it from a distance. You don't go hand-to-hand to combat with this thing. But out of that, that's not the point. The point here is not the sling beat Goliath. I want you to see, when we read this, where David's mindset was at and why he got not just so much supernatural help with Goliath, but why you see the hand of God on this man. This is the same man who said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous will run in. They got a problem. The righteous know where to run. They will run into that name, and it will deliver them. And so I want you to notice how he is going to face this problem. It's not in the natural. He's approaching it in the name. Watch this. In verse number 40. So he took a stick in his hand, chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he's but a youth. He was handsome, but he was but a youth. The Philistine said unto him, am I a dog that you would come with me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David. Now watch the war of words here. It's not a war of just hand-to-hand combat. It's a war of thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And so here, once again, this is not written to entertain you. It's written to enlighten you. Your problem will talk to you. And if you listen to it, it will whip you every single time. Your problem will come against your mind with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. It will sit in the middle of your field and mock you until you make a decision to talk back to your problem. And so out of that, all these thoughts, ideas, and suggestions have been coming from Goliath to the children of Israel for weeks. David is the first one who's about to talk back. But as soon as he gets out there, he's like, you're handsome, but you're tiny. I'm going to make you a snack. And David answers and says the following. Watch this. The Philistine said to David, come to me. Verse 44. Come to me. Well, verse 43. Go back up. The Philistine said to David, I am a dog that you would come with me against sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you, notice he names 3 things. But I come to you, I got 1 thing, and it'll trump your 3 every single time. I come to you with 1 thing. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you, sir, have taunted. And this day, watch this, humility always sees the Lord. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down. I will remove your head from you. I will give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Watch this. Watch this in verse 47. And that all this assembly, what's he saying? All this assembly who has forgotten their God. All this assembly who have made the problem their own. All this assembly who looked at your spear and looked at your javelin and looked at your sword, and that's all they saw. That every single one of these people who have been sitting in their pride and in their fear, watch this, that all this assembly may what? That they may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Do you see the symbolism here? That what David is doing here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is showing you a prophetic version of what Jesus is saying do in John chapter 14. That when you have a problem, it is time to see God's power and not your own. And the way that you see God's power and not your own is that you come to your problem in the name of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, God had a bunch of names. In the New Testament, he has taken all those names and he has rolled them over into one. The name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus. And what Jesus is saying here is, I want you to know, if it comes against you, I take it personally. But I will not act on your behalf until you stand in that place and you use my name. But if you use my name and you face your Goliath in the name of the Lord, you will see my power come against this situation. This is what I want you to see, is the power of the name of Jesus. We just finished our generosity series, and the last message I preached was you understanding the lordship of Jesus. That because you are his, and if you've given Jesus your life, you've been bought with a price, which means nothing you have is your own. That it all belongs to God. Every bit of it all belongs to God. It's not about 10, it's about 100. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus. It is all his. And so out of that, that's one side of covenant. When I got married to the spectacular Miss Pepe, that's my wife. Pepe is her, for those of you who are guests, Pepe is her name. But her real name is Stephanie, but her older sister could not say Stephanie. It came out as Pepe and it stuck. That's all she's ever been known by. But when my wife, Pepe, got married to me, something happened. We exchanged names. And everything that was hers became mine, even her problems. Even her debts. Because two became one. And we exchanged names. And she's now a carrier of my name. So everything she has became mine. And that's one side of generosity, is everything that we have became the Lord's. But there's another side of this. Everything that the Lord has became ours. That we have, not trying to, we have been blessed with every single spiritual blessing by Christ Jesus. And I want you to know today, like, the Lord Jesus is waiting on you to take your stand and to take your place in Jesus. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going into the temple. They heard Jesus say what he said in John 14. They're going into the temple at the hour of prayer. And there's a beggar there who has been sitting lame from his mother's womb. And he's looking on them and he's asking to receive something from them. And they don't have in that moment gold or silver to give him. But you know what they said? Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, they knew they had something. What I do have, I'm about to give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they took that man, and he rose up and went walking and leaping and praising God. The Book of Acts church knew they had something. And what I see today is that we have to have a church that is more like they were in Acts 3 and more like David was in 1 Samuel 17. But our world has been, our Christian world has been so inundated with more of man's wisdom than of God's word that we have fallen over into a place of pride. And when we have problems, we approach them based off of our sword, our spear, and our armor. And God is asking us to just say, will you come back to something? Will you take all that armor off? And will you trust in the name of the Lord? That God does not deliver by bow and arrow. God delivers by the power of the Spirit of God. And there is a power that is higher than any other power. A power that is not of this world. And what no man could have given him. I love how they said, we don't have anything in the natural that we brought with us. But we do have something spiritual that can fix this. We have the name of the Lord. This is not just slapping the name of Jesus onto something or onto a prayer. Do you know I have met all over Central and South America many Jesuses? It's a common name. So you just throw the name Jesus out. It's just, well, which one? That's what they ran over into in the book of Acts. It's like, I adjure you to come. They came to him. Exorcists came to a guy who's demon-possessed. And they're like, we adjure you to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And that demon spoke back and he said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who in the world are you? Because it's not about just tagging on that name. That name is to be honored. That name is to be filled with faith. We do not take the name of the Lord in vain. We do not just say that name. It is filled with honor. It's faith in that name. And no faith in that name produces no results. Little faith in that name produces little results. But big faith in that name is the thing that produces miracles. Miracles. And I want you to come to a place of faith in the name of Jesus. This past week, I was in Brazil. And man, I had a great time. I mean, a great time in Brazil. You talk about just a nation on fire for the Lord. Other than America, Brazil sends out more missionaries than any other country. And you see that fire. It's like it's fresh and it's new. And so honored to be a part of it. But I went there for basically 8 days, and every day I just had a chance to be in the Spirit. I told him, I don't want to have lunch. I don't want to go to malls. I don't want to do any of these kinds of stuff. I'm not here to be a tourist. I want to be before God. It's not like my church where I get to see you every single weekend. I'm like, I've got you for, you know, the services, I have you, and then I'm gone. So I need a rhema word, and I need something right now on time. And God showed up. I mean, service after service after service. There was like a prophetic anointing that was operating that was really unique. And I so enjoyed it. And on the last day, I had it in my heart. They had a night service, no daytime services. I had it in my heart to teach on giving. And I'm like, I do not want to teach on that. I'm like, it's been like revival the whole week. And like now giving. So I'm arguing with the Lord. He's like, no, I want you to teach on giving. And the campus that you're going to. So we went to a ministry that plants churches. That's what they do. It's an apostle ministry that just plants churches. And so I was teaching, you know, church planners, but also going to the churches and teaching all in them. And the Lord spoke to me, said the church that you're going to tonight. I didn't know what it was, but he said, they're in a building project. And out of that, I want you to teach these people how to give. And so I'm like, okay. So I get there and I see the impoverished, right? The average wage, monthly wage in Rio is $900 a month. So that's not the minimum wage, that's the average wage. So, you know, I immediately go in there with a heart that really the Lord enables me to go in. Because when I go to these places, I don't take any money. I receive no offerings. I pay my own way. I pay for my airfare. I pay for my hotel. No one gives me anything. Because I told the Lord, especially when I teach on giving, I do not want to profit from it. And so out of that, like I went in there and I could tell them that with that kind of veracity of like, I'm not trying to get anything from you. I am literally trying to take you to the field that I eat from. And I believe the Lord leads into green pastures. And so out of that, I believe that, not just because the word tells us that, but that's the field I eat in. And so out of that, I got up there and I was teaching and preaching, and the Lord tells me, he's like, they're in a building project. Sure enough, they play this video that they're in a building project. I'm like, you are so good, Lord. Like, you know exactly what you're doing at all times. And I get up there to preach, and the Lord tells me, he's like, I want you to give this church 130,000 Brazilian real. And so out of that, I didn't know what that was, but you do the math, it's a little over $25,000 US. And so I just know I'm to get up there and to obey the word of the Lord. And I want you to watch what happens. They'll play this video. Watch what happens in Brazil when we do this. And I'll finish the story.
So now that I'm officially a member,
Isn't that great? I'm like, after that, I'm like, I'd like to give you even more. But here's why they went so wild. Their pastor told them from the get-go. I had no knowledge of this. Their pastor told them from the get-go, for this building project, we need $50,000. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, 25,000 of it would come from you, but 25,000 of it would come from one man. And so when I got up there and said that, it was fulfillment of everything the Lord had spoken to him. I want you to know, here's one of the exciting things about hearing from God. When you hear from God, it is proof he hears from you. Oh, come on, somebody. When you hear from God, it is proof he hears from you. And so the reason why they got so excited was because it wasn't just a gift, but it was God answering a prayer that they had been praying as a church. And I want you to know today that Jesus Christ still answers prayer. That your heavenly Father can destroy whatever enemy is coming against you. That no matter what battle you're in, or no matter what thing you are facing, Jesus Christ is bigger than your battle. He is bigger than your giant. And you approach that giant with humility in the name of the Lord of hosts. Here's something I want to end on this, and I have to because I am very much out of time. But did you see how they got excited in that video? Oh, come on. Did you see how excited they got in that video? Did they have their answer in that moment? Yes and no. They don't know me. Man, the Lord showed me this. I got so convicted. They don't know me. That's my first time ever in that church. I've never met those people. I didn't have the check with me. What did I give them? My word and confidence in my name. And they had enough confidence in my word and enough confidence in my name that they acted that way. And what is that? Faith in my name. Faith in my word. They don't have the miracle yet. They don't have the check yet. All they have is me saying I would do it. And we read in John chapter 14 that Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And when I first read that, you know what I got? I got a little golf clap somewhere back there in the back. I'm like, somebody is up. But I'm telling you, when you have faith in the name of Jesus and you take God at his word, I think we can celebrate a little bit bigger than they did with my word. Because I think I can.